This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee for October 26, 2021. I believe we have quorum. I'm going to ask the secretary to take the roll call, please.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams?
Here.
Teresa J. Allen? Nick
Arena? She wouldn't be here.
Oh, okay. Nick Arena, it says he won't be here. Fred Blair?
Present.
Chris Corey?
Here.
Lyndon Foley?
Oh, here.
Elizabeth Von Gunten?
Here.
Julia Hewitt?
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James Sagerton?
Here.
Anita Sims?
Here.
Okay, that's nine, and that's a quorum.
Thank you, Paul. Now we'll go to the agenda, which I will read. Convene meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time is number one. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five, minutes approval, 3 minutes. Number six, report, if available, on the KPFK fund drive, KPFK treasurer, 10 minutes report, and Q&A. Number seven, report from the National Development Task Force, Director Beth Von Gunten, 10 minutes report and question and answer. Number eight, ICFO report, 30 minutes report and Q&A. Number nine, common budget templates, 20 minutes. Number 10, National Office Budget and Central Services Formula, 30 minutes. 11, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 10 minutes. Number 12, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay. Are there any additions or discussion of the budget? I'd like to move to accept the budget first.
Okay. Yes, I have that. R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, again, for number 11, I'm just going to make that budgets for FY22, okay, because that keeps it in the way it's been written for so many years.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. Okay, is there any other discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection to adopting this agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider it adopted. Now, we go to chair's announcements. I have just a few announcements. We do not have the year-end September financials for review. We hope to review them at our next meeting, along with continued consideration of the national office and the central services formula. Tonight, we will discuss unfinished business with the national office and compile a list of year-end outstanding items to share with the national office. Nick Arena cannot be with us tonight, but he has sent a fiscal year 22 WPFW draft budget to the NFC mailing list for us to review at a future meeting. He reports that WPFW made its fall fundraising campaign goal of $300,000 during the scheduled 3 weeks. Congratulations to WPFW. Preparations are ongoing for the fiscal year 21 audit, but we must pay the outstanding balance on the fiscal year 20 audit before fiscal year 21 can commence. There are no other new announcements. I just want to make an editorial note that I think everyone may have noticed that in his email to the NFC list, Nick said that they had made their goal of 300M, which I initially said thought looked like 300 million, but no, it's 300,000, of course. Okay. Those are the announcements. I understand we have no minutes to approve this evening. Is that correct, R. Paul?
Yes.
No public minutes. And now we move to number six, a report, if available, from KPFK Fund Drive, on the KPFK Fund Drive, with KPF Treasurer, 10 minutes report and Q&A. Fred Blair?
Yes. I'm bringing up the Allegiant's webpage.
Thank you.
As of today, we are 22 days into our fund drive. We started on October 5th. The pledge total as of today is just $200 under $120,000. It's $119,806.73 in pledges. I don't have what we've received, what's been fulfilled so far. The daily average is $5,445, just shy of $5,500 average per day in pledges. That's about $3,000 under operating costs for the station. So that's not sustainable. That's not a sustainable level. And I'm kind of envious of WPFW having raised $300,000 in 3 weeks. We're now going on 3 weeks, and we're just at $120,000. And that's those are the basic numbers. The main fundraisers are the same people that have the same programmers that have been the major fundraisers for years at the station. We had two major fundraisers that resigned after the spring fund drive in June. And that's one of the major reasons that we're our daily average plummeted for the summer fund drive. Basically, our daily average for the fall fund drive is the same as the summer fund drive. So that's the sad news. We're still trying to, we have a new general manager, Mikhail Calzada, and he's doing his best to raise funds, but KPFK is still in a crisis at this point in time, and I can't say, I'm not being inside the station, I can't say anything about what the plans are and what's happening. So I'm going to just open it up to Beth for her report on the station, and then we'll go to questions. Thank you.
Actually, Fred, Beth's item is a separate item on the agenda, so if you're done, we'll go to questions now. Is there anyone with a question for Fred? I have a couple, but I want to let everybody else go first.
Chris Corey for the stack.
Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Fred, I know that summer drives are traditionally the slowest ones of the year for individual stations. How does this summer drive compare to last summer's drive? If you don't happen to have those numbers handy, if you could just email them to me and maybe to the NFC, that would be helpful.
I'll send you.
I like to do comparable year over year.
I'll send you my treasurer's reports because I've got tables there for 3 years of fund drives. But last fiscal year, but actually a year ago, our summer fund drive, I believe, was bringing in about 18,000 a day. I'm sorry, not 18,000, probably about 8,000 a day. So it's, we've really, our fund drives have really collapsed this last fiscal year. As I said in my treasurer's report a few months ago, we crossed the threshold when we got below 9,000, daily average of 9,000 a day, because 9,000 is basically the daily operating costs of the station.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome, Chris.
Anyone else? While we wait to see if anyone else has questions, Fred, I want to ask you if you're familiar, by listening, are they using premiums now, and are they doing preemptions, or is each show making its own pitch?
I have limited experience with listening to the fund drive at this time. They're using, some programs are using the traditional approach, like our noontime, music programs are I believe are still pitching, premiums, like, you know, there's some music albums and they're, you know, the music compilations and, which is our traditional and also, tickets to concerts and other music, other cultural events. That's, traditional with the, with that block of programming. I don't believe that they've tried what you've been pushing in from New York, the 365 day a year fund drive, where just some programs do pitching and other programs do their regular programming. I don't think they've tried that yet.
Okay, I just want to correct that as a slight misnomer. It's not the 365-day-a-year fund drive. It's a 52-week schedule for fund drive, which is designed to let everybody know when they're going to be preempted, if they're going to be preempted, where they are in the schedule. But, yeah, I take your point, and I appreciate that. The point of the question is, you know, we're doing sort of a cold turkey withdrawal from the usual method of fundraising at KPFK, which is not a popular one, but it has been effective up until now, using the infomercial style pitches with premiums. And I was just curious. I know they have used those from Christine Blasdale three or four times. I had a report they were used three or four times, but that was a couple of days ago. I'm just wondering to what extent that might be continuing or not and how that's affecting the results.
What I can say is from the Allegiance, looking at the Allegiance numbers, in the last few days, the results have gone up. The daily average had been closer to $5,000 a day, and it's now almost at $5,500 a day. So the last 2 days, the station has brought in almost $7,000, but the 2 days before that, it was in the mid $2,000 per day. So we had a maximum of $12,000 a day raised on I believe it was Thursday the 21st. So that's been the high of the fund drive, but we've had some low days in the around 2000, and then we jumped up yesterday to almost 7,000. So it's hard to say if you know there's improvements taking place. I haven't been able to talk to any of the inside staff at the station to see, you know, what their opinion of the drive is at this point.
Understood. Well, we can follow up with that, Fred. And I did notice myself that it started out quite slow for about the first week, and then it did pick up a bit. So, you know, hopefully that trend will continue. We will see. I had one final question for you from myself, Fred. And that is, if you can explain without mentioning the names of any employees, I understand there was a little controversy about you having access to the Allegiance reports and reporting on them. Is that straightened out now? Do you believe you will have unimpeded access to the Allegiance reports?
I haven't followed up on that with management, so I'm not, you know, the problem is that each of the fund drives have a different encrypted link to the Allegiance site, so it's not the same web page. They have a new web page every fund drive, so I have to get a new encrypted link each drive, and it hasn't been automatic. So, and my request was a little bit late on this fund drive, so I didn't get, and for the first week I didn't have any numbers at all.
Understood. Well, if you need any help from the committee on that, let us know. We'd be glad to do whatever we can to make sure you and we continue to have access to that information.
I will do
Are there
that.
Any other questions? Thank you, Fred. Are there any other questions for Fred?
This is We're Sharon. Just a,
go ahead, Sharon.
Fred, thanks for the report. You said something like the daily operating cost is $8,000 or $9,000 a day. Is that every day, like, you know, every day of the month? Is that what you're saying? So each day it's $8,000 or $9,000 is the operating cost?
Correct. What that is an average. What I did is I took the monthly operating costs for the station, which are currently about $250,000 a month, and divided it by 30. And that basically comes out to about $8,800 a day. It's an average.
Okay, thanks.
We are just about at time for this item. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, I will reset the clock here, and we will move on to Beth von Gunten, chair of the Development Task Force, the National Development Task Force, for a report and Q&A on activities there. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, so the National Development Task Force, as I understand it, was set up a couple of years or so ago in response to concerns about having taken on the SJC debt. And it has met intermittently since then. I have been part of that task force since earlier this year, and I've just been asked to chair and have agreed to do so. I've made sure that meetings are now scheduled monthly. Our most recent meeting was last night, at which we were fortunate enough to have Anita Sims join us to help kind of give an overview of where we stand presently regarding debt and what help they can offer in terms of grant writing. From this point on, the meetings will be focused each month on reviewing a full array of various potential revenue streams and whatever progress we've managed to make on them since the last month. And that'll include the conventional things that we have used to this point that have been successful for us, including membership, major donors, grant giving, volunteers, underwriting to a certain extent, grants, events. There's interest also in looking at the potential for e-commerce, having a standing online Pacifica shop. There are efforts also to, enhance our credibility, looking at Charity Navigator. It was observed last night that our Charity Navigator score might improve if we were to update our information with them more frequently than every few years. So there will be attempts to do that. We've also, in terms of increasing our, restoring our credibility, I would point to the audits that we have now in place, that they've all been caught up, that we finally engaged in this budget process, that we've managed to make all our loan repayments on time and in full, other things along those lines. The next meeting will be December 27th at 8:30. That's a Monday. It'll always be the fourth Monday of the month at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. The access information will be posted online. It will be consistent and unchanging. Are there questions about what we're doing now?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
What is that next meeting?
It will be... second, I've got to scroll down. Monday, December 27th.
December 27th. Okay, thank you.
8:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And access information will be posted at KPFTX.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Paul, are there any other questions? Oh, Beth, were you going to go on? I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask if there are any other questions, but that's your job.
Okay. No worry. Any other questions?
This is Chris.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Strategic Planning Committee was working on a number of fundraising alternatives. Have any of those been taken up by this other committee?
Shall I respond?
Yeah, I just want to ask Chris, did you say strategic fundraising or strategic planning?
Strategic planning, James.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, there had previously been mention of the potential for a private issue bond, and people had more questions about that than what I had been able to answer to this point, and so Lyndon Foley was kind enough to offer his time last night to give us sort of a basic overview, rundown of how that works and what the potential might be for us and what I don't want to say obstacles, what potential situations we might have to work through to get to the point where we could use it. And there's definite interest there, and it will be revisited monthly. I know that you've put time and effort into this too, Chris, and if you've got more you can contribute to this, I'd be, very, very grateful if you'd do that. And we can talk offline, or please feel free to join us at the next meeting. Lyndon referred us to the book, the booklet from Cal Nonprofits that kind of gives a basic overview of the process.
Interesting. I haven't actually seen that. That I'd be interested in seeing that as well.
I'll send it.
Please. And please, thank you.
Then maybe we can pick up on this offline after the meeting.
That sounds great. How about the NFT idea? Was that discussed at all?
No, we haven't touched on that yet, and I should probably put that. There were many more things. We have many more ideas than we were able to get through last night. I tried to start with the what looked like the lowest hanging fruit, or the things that I'm concerned about. This the private issue bond. If we don't get on that soon, we're not going to have the option. It takes time to implement that.
It absolutely does. It's at least to get that from start to finish, and that's optimistic.
Right. So we haven't touched on NFTs yet, but I'm putting it on the list, and it will come up. Thank you for jogging my memory on that one.
You're welcome. Okay, and thanks. No further questions.
If you have any other ideas, if anybody else has any other ideas about what else we could be doing, please send them our way, and I'll see to it that they're picked up and hopefully adopted by someone prepared to shepherd that idea. Thank you.
This is the chair. I want to just interject to say that the Strategic Planning Committee was coming up with a lot of these ideas, but it hasn't met for a while because of other intervening situations that have developed, and seems like that this development task force is a good place for some of these things to land, where they have more members. It's easier for people to freely come and go and join, whereas the Strategic Planning Committee is a relatively small group of directors, which again has not been meeting that frequently recently due to other concerns. So I think this is a good idea. I don't think we would have any jurisdictional issues. I don't think you were implying that there were any, but it seems like a good home for some of these things that we have talked about but need following up on. Does anybody else have any questions for Beth? Hearing none, I guess we can move on to our next item, and that would be a report from our ICFO, Anita Sims.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Anita.
Let me see where I can get us started on a very high level. I did get an idea or cash balances from every station. So, quite frankly, it does appear that KPFK will make payroll. Overall, I think it's a healthy balance, if you will. And if I may share that, of about $751,000, though you know that there is some checks floating that we don't know what is outstanding. But KPFW really is looking good, of course, as KPFA. On the
excuse me, Anita, were you meaning to say WPFW?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So WPFW has $751,000 bank balance.
No, all combined.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Yes.
KPFA has $437,000. WPFW has $163,000. The national office, unfortunately, doesn't even have $14,000. It's a little over $13,000. Again, I share that only because I'm going to give you all some dollar amounts also just to consider on the accounts payable on the vendor listing, if you will, because we looked at that side of things also. KPFK, when staff was on site, they were able to get all the invoices down, entered in the system. And also, I have a sheet, if you will, of all that is outstanding, which is about $189,000. Again, staff feels pretty comfortable that they've got everything, though we do know that there is some payroll taxes, some health insurance benefits that need to be paid that I think I don't see the taxes, so I think that we're behind about a payroll on that. So, again, be happy to share that spreadsheet. Any questions off of that?
I have a question, but let me see if anybody else does. Any question there?
Yes, this is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Thank you, Anita. So, yeah, I would love to see the information, you know, when you get that ready to send out. I had a question about KPFK making payroll because, I mean, from the figures that Fred gave us, you know, they're not even covering operating expenses, you know, during fund drives. They're not even bringing enough to cover that day's operating expenses. So how has the money been obtained to cover payroll?
It was borrowed from KPFA. So we did not, of course, pay it all out. And, of course, we didn't make that decision. That was Mikhail and Lydia probably. So some things were paid, not everything, and, of course, we held back for payroll to cover that.
You're talking about the upcoming, because my understanding was that the borrowed funds had been used to cover the past payroll, but I understood you to say that KPFK is going to be able to make the upcoming payroll. How is that? Is that the same? They borrowed more money, or how did that work?
No, they borrowed sufficient to cover the two payrolls in the month of October and also to pay whatever we needed to pay in behalf of the station, like your normal heat, light, water, phone, and what have you. I don't have the listing in front of me. And some of that $87,000, we did not have time, of course, to...
Anita, there was a little bit of interference. Could you repeat your
yes.
last sentence?
Yes, be happy to. I'm saying KPFK has about 87,000. I am sure that there's some checks outstanding for what we call in transit. In other words, they've been released. They have not hit the bank yet. But quite frankly, staff ran out of time to tell me how much of that. But we did know that from the money that was borrowed in this month from KPFA, we tried to maintain enough payroll to cover, rather, the two payrolls in the month. So that's why I'm saying, I'm sure, and as Lydia reported in the last meeting, that they would make payroll for the 30th.
Make payroll from the money that KPFA gave them. Yeah, I got it.
Anita, may I ask you another, before you go, Beth, I want to ask a quick question on this subject. I understood there were some bequests in there, Anita. Do you have information on that?
No, I have no bequests. I knew that they had received and did the paperwork for one for about $22,000, but I'm not aware that that came in.
I had information that it had, but we can check that for next time.
Absolutely. I'll make myself a note.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out that we're in the middle of fund drive now. It's not an adequate fund drive, but nevertheless, that does mean that there is money coming in, and that historically, KPFK has been able to cover payroll, has been more likely to be able to cover payroll when we're in a fund drive than when we're not. I'm not claiming that that's adequate, but it does help explain the difference between this month and last, or this month and potentially next month when we're not in fund drive. That just always has to be taken into account. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have another one, but I'm waiting to see if anybody else has one.
Yes, this is Lyndon.
Go ahead, Lyndon.
Yeah, I was a little surprised there to hear that they'd borrowed from KPFA for two payrolls, although that does make a little bit of sense, as long as you can go through the hassle of doing this. And also, I'd say, Sharon, even so, if their daily operating expenses are $8,000 or something, hopefully they've come down a little bit since then. But that's going to include payroll. And then you can see if they have $189,000 or more in accounts payable, that they're deferring a lot of other stuff. So there's several ways that could come to it. But it's nice to know, or nice to know the fact. It's not good that they had to, that they borrowed for two payrolls, but at least we know it. Thank you.
This is Sharon again.
Go ahead, Sharon.
I just have a question, because on the 189,000, I actually can't. I mean, does that mean that that's 189,000 that is coming in to KPFK, or it's 189,000 that KPFK owes?
No,
the latter. It's
the latter.
Yeah,
yes.
What they owe.
Yeah, 189,000 outstanding vendor invoices.
That's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might bear noting right now that we know, of course, on this committee, we know that KPFK has borrowed previously from KPFA as well to cover previous payrolls. So this is not new. It's not just these two. It's been an ongoing situation. And I would like to... Go ahead, Fred. Sorry.
They also borrowed from the affiliates unit.
Correct. I think $13,000 from the affiliates.
And that's on the list. But I'll send it tonight.
Good. Thank you. I wanted to ask quickly if there were any unexpected outstanding payables. I know when your team was at KPFK going through the office there and searching through the papers, there was some speculation that you might find things that were unexpected or unknown. Was there any surprises there? Did things turn out the way you thought? Is that a little more than was expected?
Yeah, I mean, there's more outstanding than what we expected, but no surprises. I mean, all the invoices looked like vendor invoices.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean that kind of surprise. I just meant, was it more than you thought? There had been speculation that it was. Substantially more? Can you put a number on that?
Well, I mean, we had never received or had heard of this, quite frankly, because so much of this was not in the system. I think what has happened in the past, they were just being entered as the few that were getting paid, if you will.
Yes.
So that's why we never saw the overall.
So hopefully that will be an advantage of having you there and doing this for us.
Any other questions?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anita.
I was just going to say we have digitized them, so they're in the system now. So if someone wanted to look at an invoice, we could send it electronically.
Excellent. Very good. That's what we need. I don't think you were done with your report, Anita, but let me just see if there are any other questions on this area. Hearing none, if I'm correct, Anita, can you go ahead then with the rest of your report?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment on the outstanding vendor invoices for the National Office. That is sitting at about $305,000. Again, I can send that listing if anyone is interested in looking at it. The largest vendor, I don't mind saying, is NETA. And also the Rogers and Company, which is the auditors.
Can you tell us how much we owe Rogers, Anita? Because we need to pay that before we go on with the next audit.
Yes, $40,155.
Anita, I'm sorry, I missed the total. Can you mention it again? It was 300 something.
It's 300. I'm rounding up. $305,000. I'll send it out. You can see it. Rogers and Company is $40,155 by itself. The other comment, if there's not any questions on any of that, was really talk a little bit about audit or closeout, if you will.
This is Sharon.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Anita, do you have I know it's not an outstanding vendor invoice because they've all been fully paid. Do you have a figure for the amount of attorney's fees that have been paid in the last few months by Pacifica? Of course, taking many, many thousands of dollars from KPFA to pay these fees.
I do not have that handy, but I can look it up.
Well, I just find it interesting that, you know, there are some discretionary lawsuits being pursued by Pacifica against people. And it's interesting that they're using money for those kind of discretionary lawsuits when they're not even paying the auditors. I find that shocking. And that they're then borrowing more money from KPFA to cover payroll while they're paying these attorneys. And I'm just going to say something about the writ proceeding where we at KPFA have been paid over $70,000 of attorney's fees, and that procedure is not finished yet to resolve the property tax issue. And the problem with it is, apparently, that they failed to just take the default against Pacifica. That's all that needed to happen. And instead of giving us a credit for their mistake, they keep charging us these exorbitant fees. I really, you know, I'm an attorney. I don't charge clients. Well, you know, if something, there's an issue, I work it out. But these people are charging and charging and charging for basically not doing a proper job. And I find it somewhat irresponsible of the Pacifica management to pay for that kind of work when we're not paying our accountant, NETA, and when we're not paying Rogers, and we need to have our audits done, and when we don't have enough money to make payroll across the network. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Sharon, could you specify who the they are that you referenced there? Who's the they and what's the issue? You say they are paying.
The Pacifica management is choosing to pay attorneys that have made mistakes in this writ proceeding. They've made mistakes, okay? And instead of sort of eating the cost of the mistake, they just charge Pacifica again to fix their own mistake that they made, the attorneys have made.
Got it. Thank you. I understand. Any other questions on this?
Our Paul?
Go ahead, our Paul.
That doesn't sound good. Let me just ask, is the PNB aware of what Sharon says, and is there anything going to happen around that?
I think the PNB is aware of it. What action is planned or if any action is going to be taken, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. I would agree that is definitely not a good situation. I have heard the argument about the attorneys made an error, and now we're paying them again to fix the error. I don't know the details on that, but I do understand that argument is there.
All right, thank you.
Any of the other directors have any comment on that? I know at least one litigation that has been ongoing is the attempt to recover the lawyer's fees in the suit against the chair of the board and the former secretary of the board. There were Pacifica spent $71,000 in legal fees on that, and Pacifica is now moving to recover those fees. That's one of the ongoing suits. That's to recover lawyers' fees. That's a different matter than the one that Sharon was discussing.
Yes, and I'm also discussing the lawsuit brought by Pacifica against people in the New Day proceedings, which is entirely unnecessary and a total waste of attorney's fees, in my opinion.
Okay, I just ask you to wait to be recognized, but I hear your opinion and respectfully disagree, but I don't want to get into that conversation here now. Any other questions in this area before Anita goes on? Why don't you go ahead, Anita? You were about to go to another area.
Yes, I was. Primarily just to talk a little bit about year-end close. I really do feel that we're a long way because some of the stations are, which is typical for this time of year, but they don't have all of their information in. So we're communicating with them as I'm sure there's other items that we don't have because we don't have the information to record it, like the building sale in Houston. We did reach out to find out who had the information. We have not heard about that as of yet. So trying to just prepare or get ahead, if you will, once the audit is able to start so we don't get so far behind, if you will. So I think I heard that maybe by next week or the next call of this meeting that maybe we would have something. I hope so. And if we do, they will be very tentative numbers, if you will. So I'd rather say that up front and then be surprised by the outcome, if you will. Again, I'm hoping that we get everyone on board. I know that staff is already working on some reconciliations, primarily bank recons, anything, balance sheet accounts, if you will, moving forward. And also the same team will head it up, which is George Walter, and Julia will be the controller on the job, as Tamara will also. Any questions on that?
I have a question, Anita. We've been announcing and hoping that we were going to do the September financials. Obviously, we need a lot of that year-end closing information to get to the September financials. So perhaps we should plan extra other activities for our next meeting.
Probably. I mean, I'll find out, I'm sure, latter part of this week, early next week, where we're at, and I will certainly communicate that with you.
Good. Thank you. Any other questions? On that area, is that the conclusion of your report, Anita? Do you have anything more?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about August financials.
Oh yeah, so thank you so much for reminding me. And I may I just say, Chris, I understand that you had a dialogue with Tamara about this, and I wondered if you wanted to share any of that with the committee after Anita discusses it.
Sure, I can do that. Whoever comes first.
Let's
here.
Let Anita introduce.
Yeah, that's fine.
Subject.
That makes sense.
Thanks.
All right. I'll be very brief. I'm sure we'll discuss more about it in our conversation with Tamara. And I think I mentioned this in the last meeting. Excuse me. The first infusion or the first PPP was recognized by the auditors. In other words, they accrued that fund at year-end 2020, if you will. So that those funds of $1.2 million were already recognized, if you will. So if you remember that financial statement, I think the confusion about that is because you could see it on the consolidated level, but you could not see it in the units, if you will, or the stations. Is that correct?
Yes.
For the second half. And that is really, quite frankly, because books half are closed for 2020, so we could not go back per se. So I just wanted to comment or open it up for discussion, and I know that Chris probably has something else to add. And I'm going to mute myself so I can cough. Excuse me.
Go ahead. Chris, do you want to chime in?
Sure. Yeah. So this situation is kind of confusing, but I mean, at the surface level, it's fairly straightforward. So the 2020 books, I guess, is that right? Yeah, 2020 books were adjusted for PPP funds and on the audit. And when that happened, a $1 million credit went to the national office. Now, in order to reconcile that, because it wasn't peppered throughout the individual stations, I guess, in order to reconcile that, the national office has to have a $1 million loss to offset it in the current fiscal year. Otherwise, the national office ends up with this very large surplus, which is kind of weird and kind of silly. The other strange adverse effect on this would be that if we decided to go ahead and distribute it like we were talking about last meeting throughout the individual stations, that in other words, carry that loss through for the quote loss unquote, it's actually an adjustment, but whatever. I think of it as a loss. It's all paper, by the way. You know, all this stuff is just money moving around, but between the divisions. If we were to treat that loss this year as a loss to the individual stations, it would kind of have the impact of undoing Lyndon's motion in a way, because to the extra funds that we had distributed throughout the individual stations. I understand that all this stuff, I mean, I could probably make a spreadsheet to illustrate this just on an adjustments basis. In other words, back everything out other than the adjustments so that you can just see the adjustments flowing in and out of the accounts for the last 2 years. And it might make a little bit better sense that way. But
Chris, could I ask you, for the listening audience who might be getting a little lost,
I'm sure they are.
When you're saying distributing through the network, are you talking about the central services payments? And
not exactly.
Distributing?
Not exactly. It doesn't really have that effect. I mean, what it essentially does is it goes as revenue. So, okay, let's back out to the sort of the 50,000 foot view of this. PPP funds are effectively income. I mean, it's grant income from the federal government. And so the next question becomes, where does that grant income go? Well, it most appropriately goes to the stations. That's what Lyndon concluded, and I agree with that conclusion. Unfortunately, because the PPP funds...
Chris, again, just to keep this on a level that people can understand, it goes to the stations because PPP money was payroll protection plan money that came to us so we could keep our employees, and it went to the stations that had the, you know, on a proportional basis, according to how many employees they had.
That is true. However, Lyndon's proposal was that the remaining funds be used for more general stuff that is also allowed under PPP. There are certain categories of expenses other than payroll that are allowed, up to 30%, I believe. And
it was 40%.
And so that is also an appropriate use. And as it turns out, the stations that don't have a lot of payroll have a lot of these other expenses. So it turns out that if you just take those funds and distribute them, it actually comes out reasonably fairly. I think the best way to think of this, and once again, I'm going to rely on Lyndon's proposal because I feel like I understand it fairly well, is that the stations are really what drives the network, and therefore the stations, right, it's primarily for employment. That is true. They are primarily the employment of the network. They are primarily like 95% of the revenue generation for the network. So it seems appropriate that the PPP funds be used as a revenue source for the individual stations. And I understand that the way the stations are thinking of it right now is it's an offset for labor. And that's fine. You can think of it that way. But it just looks like income. And
right,
so,
but and they did have the break off or the separation for the 40% of other expenditures besides payroll, but it still is awarded to the stations based on how many employees each station has. And then as the money comes to the, if you account for it coming to the stations and then going up to the national office, that's where you account for it as central services payments. Is that right?
Yeah, or to put it a slightly different way, and once again, I'm going to rely on Lyndon's sort of thinking on this. It came as an offset for central services, which were used for other purposes other than payroll that were provided
yes.
by the national office, or in some cases, just eaten as expenses by the individual stations.
Yes.
So in any case, the PPP funds helped stations fund the national office. That's kind of the net effect of all this. And the national office has a great deal of stuff that it does other than payroll, obviously.
Good. Lyndon, did you have any comment on any of that?
It's quite confusing in how it works out at the detail level, but in the sort of 50,000 foot view, it's actually pretty straightforward.
Yes. Any comment, Lyndon?
No, go ahead. Comment. That's pretty good.
Okay.
R. Paul for something?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah. Oops, I pressed a button. 1 second, I pressed a button and something went bad.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So a lot of this came up at the last meeting, and we were going back and forth, and it's all about accounting stuff and all of that. And I understand it was they had to deal with the books for FY20 and all that stuff. But it started out pretty much when I was asking a question about the PPP money for WBAI showing up in January and August, and the numbers for January and August, instead of being about 94,000 each time, were about 126,000 each time. And so basically this is the other stuff. I mean, in other words, so the 126, the 94 would cover payroll, but the extra money, which is like 32 to 35 each time, would be for other things that we got to pay off with the PPP money. Is that it?
James, I can answer that.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So, yes, effectively, yes. Once again, by Lyndon's proposal, the stations that hadn't been paying central services could use it for that purpose. There was only one station, I think, that paid all their central services, and that was KPFA. So it just shows up as income, grant income to KPFA. But the net effect is the same, whether you treat it as central services payments or whether you treat it as income. It shows up as revenue. And so, yes, there was an extra $36,000 to WBAI in those two periods that was left at the national office for them to meet their expenses that were not otherwise met by central services funds.
Okay. So when we're backing out money, you know, because we want to see how we do without PPP, when we're backing out money, do we back out 94 or do we back out 126? 126, I think.
Well, I would
right?
probably back out 126 because
right,
we can't rely on the grant funding. You know, it's not like the Biden administration is going to continue writing million-dollar checks to Pacifica. The pandemic is ostensibly on its way to being over. I don't anticipate any further rounds of funding.
We hope it's on its way out. I wouldn't bet my life
on its way out. Yeah. If we happen to get the EIDL loan, that'll be treated entirely different than this because it's not going to be grant structured at all. It'll be structured as debt. So that'll be a whole different ball of wax if that actually comes to pass. I seriously doubt that we'll ever get that kind of thing again. We might get extraordinary income, but it's not going to come in the form of PPP. So, yes, I would back it out of the budgeting process for every station.
Right. Okay, we are now at time for this item. Anita, did you have any more to report?
No, I'm fine. I totally agree with Chris's comment. It is extraordinary income, and for comparison, I'm sure we need to probably put it below the line or something.
Yes.
Something else to talk about. Thank you.
Yes, I think that's correct. Did anyone else have any other questions or anything to add on this subject? If so, we would need to move to extend time. Hearing none, we can go on to the next item. I will reset the clock. And now we'd like to go to number 9, which is common budget templates. This is 20 minutes scheduled for this item. And I will begin with a review of where we were on this in the past. We have discussed quite a bit adopting common budget templates so that budgets are comparable between the units, so that people who learn how to read a budget for one unit can then go to another unit and read the budget over there. And one question that arose in trying to do that was that some of the budget templates that we were using had formulas, others did not. And apparently the templates at that time that NETA had available for us to use did not have formulas. Some thought that we should have formulas included in the templates, in the budgets. And so there's that question. And then there's also just the historical fact that because we were late getting started and we wanted to get budgets to the extent possible for the previous year, we ended up getting 7 out of 8. We had to just start to act and accept the budgets as they were coming in. So the question now is, we have received, I think, 3 budgets so far from the units. Do we want to ask people to take a minute and rewrite the budgets that we've been receiving and put them all into a common template? So those are the two questions. I guess we begin with a common template, yes or no. And the second question would be, if yes, then formulas or not. And part of the yes or no question would be, do we redo the budgets we've already received in whatever common format we come up with? So those are the parameters of the discussion as I see it. If anybody wants to add to that, they can do so. And then I'll ask for any comments that anybody has.